Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be. Thou living us we filled with thee, thou in the Son expressed might be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In chapter 2, verse 13, Paul wrote, "But we ought to thank God always concerning you, brothers, beloved of the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." We have been chosen with a view toward salvation, a salvation that includes sanctification of the Spirit. Here, salvation can be likened to a long bridge, a bridge upon which we, the believers, cross over, bringing us out of this present evil age and into the realm of eternity. Francis Ball is here for our fellowship as we near the conclusion of this life study of Thessalonians. It's been a good journey, hasn't it, Francis?
Very good. I think this has been a very helpful study.
Give me your initial thoughts about what we're going to fellowship on today, Francis.
I think one of the main aspects of today's program, Chris, is that we need to see the extent of this bridge. Many have thought that the bridge was just a step. Mm-hmm. No, it's a long bridge lasting through our whole life and preparing us always for the glorious result of our initial salvation and its full completion. So I'm looking forward to seeing for myself and hopefully to help others to see that this salvation is a step-by-step, continual operation through our entire Christian life.
Many times, I think, especially we present the gospel to an unbeliever, someone who does not know the Bible, doesn't know the Lord, and we may limit our presentation to these important matters, such as the ones I mentioned a moment ago, forgiveness from sins, mm-hmm. our eternal situation taken care of. And this can be enough to attract us out of that kind of background many times. It's all we need to hear in mm-hmm. order to accept and receive the Lord. But if we don't go on and present more fully, we really rob one another, and particularly the new believers, of the richness and the texture and the real focus of God's full salvation, don't we?
That's right, and that really is a sad thing because we will face a judgment seat that is part of our salvation, and we want to enter into the full enjoyment of what has been accomplished by Christ for us.
Our first portion today, we come to this matter in the verse that I read a moment ago, and that is God's choosing, God's selection. Many times I think we struggle with this. There are some aspects of it that appear in the Bible, and I'm going to read one here just now in a verse in Romans chapter 9 that I think many of us have struggled with. But I really was touched by what Witness Lee is going to say as I listened to it prior to the program today. I really have a deep desire and a longing and a prayer that the Lord would speak in all of the hearers as he was speaking to me, at least when I first heard this. This matter of God's selection tied to his eternal purpose is too marvelous, isn't it?
Amen.
All right, here's the verse. Actually, I would read 2 verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 is a marvelous verse on God's choosing and selection. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him in love." That verse sounds a lot like the one in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, doesn't it?
That's right. Chose us in him through sanctification of the Spirit.
Yeah. And Witness Lee will also refer to this verse in Romans 9, verse 13, "As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Have you ever struggled with that, Francis?
I have struggled with that, and I tell you, to read these two things in one sentence, love and hated, it's hard to link those with God.
Right.
Because we don't ever think of God hating, but we think only God is love, no matter what the circumstances.
Well, let's join Witness Lee, and then we'll talk about this point when we come back.
In eternity past, God the Father made a plan. He made a purpose. In that purpose, He elected us. We all have been elected. We all have been chosen according to His foreknowledge. Even before the foundation of this world, God the Father, He saw you. He saw you in eternity past. When He saw you, He was happy with you. Why God loved Jacob and hated Esau? The Bible says, no one can answer. He saw a twin, Esau and Jacob. And He looked at that twin. He said, I don't feel happy with the first one. You ask me why? I don't know why. Only God knows. He has His desire. When I was young, I thought God was altogether unfair. Esau was much better than Jacob. I surely hate Jacob. This one, knowing nothing but stealing, robbing others. But today I like him very much. What would you say? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We all are Jacobs.
Amen.
Don't think you are a gentleman. You are just a supplanter. We all got selected, right? I like to say this to young people. Don't try to run away. You cannot get off the hook of God. You got hooked. God hooked you in eternity. And His hooks all have long string. God the Father has chosen us. But we got fallen. And we became rotten. So God the Son came to redeem us, to accomplish what God planned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then God the Spirit came to apply what God planned and what the Son Christ accomplished to all of us. And this application is sanctification.
Francis, we can get to this matter of sanctification in the coming two sections, but right now I'd like to spend a couple of minutes on this point of God's choosing. This verse in Romans 9, loving Jacob, who was the naughty one. There's no doubt about it. When you read the account in Genesis there, Jacob was loathsome in many regards in the way he behaved and acted. And Esau was quite proper, quite upright, and yet God's selection just has nothing to do with our natural qualifications, does it?
That's right. I think this is a real lesson to us. We all are like Jacob. We all supplant. We all try to be first and all this kind of thing. It took years and years and years for God to work on Jacob before he could be what God eventually called him, Israel, chosen of God.
Right.
So I think we have to face the same fact. Since we're Jacob's, the Lord has a way of choosing us and working on us to work out His full salvation to our benefit.
You know, he also made the point that this is a very good word for our young people. I deal with the young people, both those who have grown up in my household and those with whom the Lord has put me in close contact. And sometimes you get the sense our kids get saved often when they're very young. If we are active and really involved in the church life where we are, our children tend to receive the Lord at an early age, and we praise the Lord for that on the one hand. On the other hand, there comes a time in their life when they grow up a little bit and they think, that isn't fair. Did I really do this before I had a chance to experience all that I want to experience? And they have maybe a feeling that they were robbed a little bit, but this word that God's selection, too bad. He chose us all before the foundation of the world, and He put the hook in us, and as Witness Lee just said, He's got a long string on this hook, doesn't He?
That's right. He's got lots of hooks, and He's hooking all these ones. They cannot escape.
I remember Brother Lee used to tell us sometimes, just try to escape, see if you can get away. You remember him saying that?
Yeah, I've heard him say that.
There's no getting away once the God of the universe has chosen and selected us according to his heart's desire in eternity past and marked us out. Then even knowing how naughty and supplanting we would be, he came himself to take care of that, didn't he?
That's right. He provided for a way of hooking us for our whole lifetime.
But your word, Francis, about what Jacob became ultimately, I think is the key to understanding this matter of sanctification and sanctification of the Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 10, I won't read the whole verse, verse 29, but near the end of the verse, Paul uses this term, the Spirit of grace. And we just read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, salvation in sanctification of the Spirit. This sanctifying Spirit, as we'll hear, Francis, praise the Lord, is the Spirit of grace.
Amen. I'm thankful for that.
Let's join Witness Lee once more.
Every day, even every minute, we are being sanctified. Who sanctifies us? The Spirit. This is why the Bible says the sanctification of the Spirit. Who applies the Father's plan and the Son's accomplishment to us. This one is sanctifying us all the day. He is sanctifying us. Hallelujah. Oh, we do have such a practical, a living, and subjective sanctifier. Even while you are sinning, you are committing some sin, he is doing the sanctification. He's sanctifying you. This is gracious. This is why this Spirit in Hebrew is called the Spirit of grace. We all have received the Spirit of grace who sanctifies us unconditionally, without any term, without any condition, because this is his commission. He has been given to us just for this purpose, to fulfill the sanctification. And the sanctification is just to separate us unto God with a mark. And the mark is just a triangle. You believe me, whenever you are sanctified, you get marked. And the mark is the triangle. People can see the triune God in you day after day, day after day. And this mark is increasing, getting more intensified. This is the way we are being saved. And this is the way that we are now living a holy life for the church.
Francis, let's come back to this matter of salvation and how it is connected so inseparably from sanctification. We obtain an initial salvation in which we do receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But that isn't the whole process of salvation, is it?
That is correct. And it's much, much more than that, and it involves the application of all that Christ has accomplished based on what the Father has chosen. Through our whole lifetime, the Spirit is applying all the triune God has and is and has accomplished to us. That sanctification is not a superstition. It's a definite experience of being set apart. Sanctified means we're being made holy. That means we're being made right for God. And this is a process that He takes us through in our living. It's not a one-time act that we just receive as though that's the whole story. No, this requires the working of the Spirit in our daily experiences with our husband, our wife, our children, our companions, all the people we deal with, and all the things we deal with. The sanctifying Spirit is always operating to sanctify us from all the things of this world unto God's full salvation.
As he mentioned, incorporated in this sanctification is this marking what is obviously invisible in one sense, but an indelible and with spiritual eyes, a very visible marking, isn't it? I'm thinking of a case recently of some believers that I know well, and a neighbor right across the street got very ill, a terminal illness, and the families had not had much contact, just a very casual knowing of one another. But during this time of crisis, the neighbor where this tragedy had settled in on them, they immediately came to the believers across the street. And despite the fact there were many good, close friends in the neighborhood, they right away found their way to these ones to receive some help and to ask for prayers. And it just reminded me of this. There was this, to them at that moment, that was a very visible mark, wasn't it?
Yes, and that is marvelous. That's not an isolated case. I could give a testimony also with a neighbor of mine who took to us and was very friendly with us, but his wife was very cautious of us. She had a religious background that kind of kept her from being open to us. So finally, this man said to his wife, "You just look at the faces of those people that come over to their house every Friday night, and you realize you can't find anything wrong with them."
Wow. That's the mark of the triune God.
Yes, I like to see that mark.
Yes, absolutely. Francis, let me read the verse for our final section today, a verse that we've read now a number of times in this series of programs. It is from the first book of Thessalonians, the last chapter, chapter 5, verse 23, on this matter of sanctification. "And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly," in that instance is wholly, or completely, "and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We need to be sanctified wholly, don't
we? Amen, our whole being.
All right, here's Witness Lee for our final segment.
To have such a holy life is just to have threefold preservation of our spirit, of our soul, and of our body. We are so living in our spirit, we contact our God every minute, and we serve Him in a living way, and we have a direct sensation all the time from Him. Not only so, we have our conscience, the greatest part of our spirit, all the time, without an offense. So, our spirit is here fully preserved from deadening, from any kind of spiritual contamination, and from any kind of offense. This is to preserve your spirit. Not only so, and we have our entire soul preserved. Our mind is renewed, transformed, and kept all the way so sober. And we have our will preserved, always so submissive, so flexible, yet so strong. And we have our emotion preserved, always properly adjusted, not too much nor too little. We love what we should love, and we hate what we should hate. We just have an emotion according to God's desire. So our soul is preserved. And we are also preserved in our body. We don't live any longer by our old man. So our body becomes no more a slave to sin, to unrighteousness. And not only so, we keep our body presented to God, a living sacrifice. And even our body becomes the member of Christ. To live Christ, to express Christ, to magnify Christ. Even our body is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit for God's dwelling. God dwells in our body to move and to express and to glorify Himself. But this way, our spirit and our soul and our body all have been and is still being preserved in the triumph. This is a holy life for the church.
Well, this section is, I would say, a summary of the whole life study that we've been enjoying in Thessalonians, isn't it?
That's right, and I really enjoy this. He covered the whole sphere of our being, our spirit kept and sanctified, and then our soul. And this is what we go through day by day, the sanctifying of our soul to separate us from all the things that try to crowd into our minds, our emotion, and our will. And he made it very clear in this segment of the program that he covers every aspect of our soul, renewing our mind, subduing our will, and correcting our emotions, doing something to make us balanced. This is to live a holy life, and this holy life is just not so we would be satisfied. This is for the church life, because this is God's plan and purpose, and the reason he chose us, the reason Christ died for us and rose again, and now is the Spirit to be in us, sanctifying us all the time, so we could be a body of believers that express him.
In tomorrow's program, in fact, he comes back to this point, and he will relate that someone asked him the question. It's clear to see in Thessalonians this matter of sanctification, the holiness aspect. Paul repeats it many times. But a holy life for the church life. What's your ground? What's your basis, they asked Witness Lee, for adding this phrase, for the church life? And his quick response was the first verse of each of the books. To the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Makes it very clear, doesn't it, Francis,
yes,
that he sets up the context at the very beginning.
Uh-huh.
This is not for your individual sanctification.
That's right. This is God's purpose, and he pointed this out at the beginning of this message. He pointed out that God has a purpose, a plan, and the working out of that plan is because of his choosing as the Father, because of his redeeming as the Son, and working it out by applying it to us as the Spirit.
Appreciate your being here today, Francis. This was very enjoyable.
Thank you very much.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.